Praise the Lord. Let's make it louder now. Are you angry with them? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right, something about faith. Something about faith. I'll be taking the part 3 this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something about what? Something about faith. Praise Jesus. Alright, but before we continue this morning, I'm going to pass around the anointing oil. I'm going to place it on your head. But let me tell you what this anointing is for. That was what the Lord told me to do. Joshua chapter 1 verse 3. The Lord said, there are many of us that need speed. Do you need speed? Are you sure? Okay. Joshua chapter 1 verse 3. Look at the scripture. The Bible says, every place that the sole of your feet, of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, your feet or your foot is divided into two parts. You have the sole and you have the heel. Hallelujah. That's elementary science, right? You have the sole. The front part is the sole. The back part is what? Is the heel. Now, when you walk with your heel. When you are walking, you walk with what? Your heel. The whole of your foot. So, but primarily the weight, your weight rests on your heel when you are walking and when you are standing. But now, there is something very interesting. When you are running, you run with the sole of your feet. You don't run with the heel. If you run with the heel, they will overtake you. So every athlete runs. That's why you see them. It's as if they are galloping. They are walking or moving. They are running with the sole of their feet. What does that translate to? The only places on earth that are given unto you are the places you access by running. The only places that are given unto you are the places you access by what? By your soul. By running. So the Lord told me, if you are slow, you won't take your place. If you are slow, you won't do what? You won't take your place. But your place will not be given to another this morning, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. So I pass around this anointing this morning. Just touch it and place it upon your head and begin to declare that, Father, from today, shall we be on our feet? That, Father, from today, I begin to assess my place by speed. I gain speed. I run from this body in the name of Jesus. As you place that hand on your head, Lord, as the hand of the Lord comes upon my head today, I gain speed. I begin to access places. As I run now in the name of Jesus, no more stagnation. No more trekking. I begin to run in the spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, and I begin to take my portion in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Does that look like you? There are so many people that their lives are slow. Things that somebody has achieved 10 years ago, they are still struggling to achieve it today. Why? They are moving with their heel. May you run with your soul from this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Alright, just touch it, place it upon your head and begin to prophesy. Father, I decree and declare that from today, O Lord God Almighty, I begin to run. I gain speed. I access my portion by speed in the mighty name of Jesus. Everywhere I touch it with speed now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I access my inheritance in the name of Jesus. I move with my soul. I move with my soul in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. No more stagnation. No more trekking. In the mighty name of Jesus, I begin to run now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I run like Elijah. I run like Elijah. I overtake every chariot of Ahab. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, everywhere that belongs to me, I get access to it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lekapakazata rekopos kontolia librekaskata prokedos italia ikapakate ketepozita librokalia ikaposontolia libraskatalia manrosuta libres ketepreketa keteposia. In the mighty name of Jesus, Makabasata Rekos Kontolia, Librekadi Gare Bakazuta, Ikebozete, Reposontolia, Manros Konto Librekalia Bakazete Legedosia. I run with speed, I move with speed. In the mighty name of Jesus, stagnation becomes alien to me. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I gain my place by speed, I gain my place by the sole of my feet. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. From today, you begin to move with the sole of your feet in the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, everywhere that the Lord has apportioned to you, you get there quickly. In the mighty name of Jesus, what stop your father? What stop your mother? We not stop you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, move with speed. Move like Elijah. In the name of Jesus, become a runner in the spirit from today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You may comfortably take your seat. The Lord bless you. Do you understand that? So you are what? You are who? A runner in the spirit. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, let's continue from where we stopped. Something about faith. And I want to try and round it up this morning. The Lord is bringing something up in my spirit for next week. Something about faith. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 6 verse 8. Alright, okay, leave it in Corinthians for me first. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with man, enticing words of man's wisdom. It said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Acts chapter 6 verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. The Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now that scripture is very interesting. Hallelujah. But it's not my focus for today. Look at it. The Bible didn't say God did anything through Stephen. Hallelujah. You know, there are places the Bible says, and the Lord did through. And the Lord did this by the hand of. Here the Bible says, God, it was Stephen that did this. It was Stephen that did it. And the Lord said, how did he do it? He said, because he was full of faith and power. So when you are full of faith and power, nothing is impossible to you. You can do anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alright, and last week we began looking at where? At what? The process of faith. The process of faith. And there are two stories that we are looking at. I'll quickly read those stories again to us today. And then I'll show you the remaining three. Praise Jesus. Alright, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. I'm reading from 25 to 34. Mark chapter 5, 25. Praise the Lord. Alright, follow me as I read. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his cloth, I shall be whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my cloth? Verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and seest thou who touched me? Verse 32. And he looked round and about to see her that had done this thing. Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? The meaning of that statement? The Bible says Jesus was looking for the person that did it. That did the miracle. Because Jesus didn't know anything about it. He was the carrier of the miracle. But somebody did it. Hallelujah. Jesus looked round to see her. And verse 34. Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith is the one that has done this demonstration. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18 verse 35. I quickly read. Luke chapter 18 verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 39. And they which were before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Hallelujah. If I was saying, you know, it's very sweet in Yoruba. Faith, hello, you have. Hallelujah. It's your faith that saves you. Jesus didn't say my faith, your faith. Verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Hallelujah. So we began looking at this, the process of faith. The process of faith. The process of faith. And last week we looked at the first two. Number one, identify what you want and what you are dealing with. Identify what you want and what you are dealing with. Right? Number two is what? Get a promise of God for what you want. Is that okay? Alright, number three. Put the promise in your mouth. 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 Now, faith makes everything possible, but faith does not make everything easy. With faith, all things are possible, but that does not necessarily mean that with faith, everything is easy. No. But with faith, everything is possible. Now, this is the part of faith where people fail. It's that disjunction. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday, very early in the morning, my wife went out to make her hair, and I received an alert from somebody. Hallelujah. And don't let me tell you the figure, because I almost fainted too. Praise God. because there are some things that happen to you, and when you count the number of zeros behind what you know, you are not sure. So I thought maybe this guy made a mistake. Praise God. So I called him and I said, I saw this, and he started laughing. I said, so you mean it? I said, okay, let me calm down before I pray for this guy so that I won't curse him. Hallelujah. So I have to settle down and take time to really pray for it. It's been long. Somebody give me something that figure. Praise Jesus. And then yesterday evening, I received another. This one was physical. Yesterday in the evening, and I was telling my wife, and my wife was like, that one for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, I was praying the night. And as I was praying the night, I was not even thinking about it. I already thank God for it. But the Holy Spirit said, do you know what you did right? Because I told you, anytime you receive a miracle, trace back. Check your life. So that you can continually reproduce it. The problem of many Christians is that you receive a miracle, you receive a testimony today, tomorrow you have a similar problem, you don't know what to do. You don't. Why? Because you don't know the principle, you didn't know what you did specifically that produced it. And I said, Holy Spirit, what did I do? Now, I try to upgrade my confessions, my daily confessions. How many people do daily confessions of scriptures? Hallelujah. Very few. Are you a member of this church? And I went to minister somewhere yesterday and I was posing with my members. Ah, that I'm sure. Even last week, at the part, I was posing with you. I said, I know, there is none of them that will be declaring less than 5 to 12 scriptures every morning before they go out. I was posing. Hallelujah. Don't fall my hand. Praise Jesus. So, you know, every time I increase my daily confessions, now I have 18 scriptures that I say before I go out. 18 of them. I kept increasing. So when I upgraded, that was a year ago that I upgraded. That time I upgraded to 15. So I added a particular scripture. Remember this scripture? Psalm 45 verse 12. Hallelujah. Psalm 45 verse 12. Before I go out, every day I pray this scripture. I release it into the atmosphere. As I go, the daughters of Tyre shall give Olamide gifts. The rich among the people shall look for my favor. And I discovered that by yesterday, I've been declaring this scripture for 1 year. Does it make sense now? Hallelujah. There is power in your mouth. There is authority in your mouth. And I'm going to show you from scriptures now. Mark chapter 5, verse 28, Amplified. Look at that woman. We are looking at their story. You are powerful beyond measure. And I'll show you certain things this morning that probably you don't even know about yourself. Now look at this scripture, Amplified. The Bible says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. Do you know the interesting thing about this? The word, the Bible says, kept saying, ing. What does that connote? Present what? Continuous. Ad infinitum. We don't know for how long she quoted this scripture. We don't know for how long she said it. But every morning, despite the fact that she was weak, she was fragile, she was frail, the sickness kept her on the bed. She kept telling herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. I told you why she touched the hem of the garment last week. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If only I can touch. And she kept saying to herself, you know your problem? You have said it for 5 days. You have stopped. And that's why you're not seeing results. She kept saying. She didn't stop. She kept saying. Say it's not working. Honestly, this thing is not working. You know, sometimes when people tell me that, honestly, we are pray. And it's like this thing is not. Hallelujah. Pray. And I ask them. I ask somebody. She told me she has been praying about a particular matter. I said, for how long? He said, "Utipe go." It's been long. Ah, wow! I said, "To God be the glory." Like how long? She said, "If I'm not mistaken, maybe about 2 weeks now." 2 weeks. She said, "Yes, 2 weeks." I told her that when I was praying for something like what you are believing God for, I prayed it for 5 years. Say. The same thing. Technically, I've been looking for this scripture where the Bible was talking about Jesus. The Bible said he was saying the same thing. That was when he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at it. I'm not sure whether it's John that made that record, that recorded it in that format. Everything, when Jesus was praying in the garden, the Bible says he was saying the same thing. That's the way the Bible puts it. Saying the same thing. This woman kept what? Saying. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It's not enough to search the Bible, to search the scriptures. It's not enough to have the scripture. It's not enough to know the scripture. Now, where many people give up is this point, and the devil knows. The devil knows. Look at it. The Bible says, we have the same spirit of faith. Like who? Like Jesus. We have the same spirit of faith. Like Abraham. We have the same spirit of faith. Like who? Like who? Like Jacob. We have the same spirit of faith like Paul. We have the same spirit of faith like David. We have the same spirit of faith like Solomon. So when you know that we have the same spirit, he said, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. Look at it. We also believe and therefore speak. We also believe and therefore speak. It is not enough to ingest scriptures. You must confess it. You have to. You must say it. The first contact your miracle makes with our world is what? Is what you make audibly. The sound that you make. Let me show you something about you. Let's trace it back a little. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. And I will read it to you in the original manuscript. But let's go there first. Let me show you here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the garden, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils, and that's the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this is the scripture now. Hallelujah. He became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Now let me read it to you in the original text. I got this from a Hebrew scholar. Look at it in the original text. I'll just read that last part. It says, a man became another speaking spirit, a living soul. Wow. He said, a man became another speaking spirit, a living soul. The only difference between man and every other being that God created was what? The ability to speak. That's the only difference. The only difference between you and every other animal. Other animals make sound. You speak. That's why we resemble God. He says, a man became another speaking spirit. A living being. Your ability to speak is the main distinguishing factor between man and the animal kingdom. So many other animals. Now it has even been found that dolphins and other animals, they make sounds that can even be coordinated, but never like man. That's what makes us unique. That is what makes us resemble God. The first experiment God did with man was what? Genesis chapter 2 verse 19. That was the first thing God did with man. The first experiment. He said, now we have created this human being. He's man now. Let's be sure that this man that we made in our own image really resembles us. God has said, okay, no problem. Let's put him to a test. You know, just like scientists, they are carrying out an experiment on something new. You know, when they manufacture cars, when they do that, especially in Germany, they have a place where they test ride cars after they make them. They drive them roughly. They move them anyhow. They have crazy stunt drivers that test it. That's the way they test those vehicles. So God now said, let's test this man. Let's test him. Let's be sure that he is actually like us. Now, he gave him an assignment. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Why? He passed. And from that day, anything man calls a living creature, that was the name thereof. So if he calls it malaria, it becomes malaria. If he calls it healing, it becomes healing. If he calls it death, it becomes death. From that day. Thank God you had it during the opening charge. Jesus Christ spoke to the fig tree, right? He didn't do anything to the else, to the fig tree. No. He spoke. The Bible says, and the disciples, they had him. Is the man today? Nonsense. That's why he will be talking to everything. Are you sure this man that we are following is okay? Are you sure? Peter must have been asking John. And John must have been talking to Philip and Andrew. That man, his wala is too much. He spoke to see. Okay, let's see. That one, calm down. He spoke to blind men. He spoke to everything. This one, he has messed it up now. You remember? In Mark chapter 4, he spoke to the sea. In Mark chapter 5, he spoke to the madman. Now, Mark chapter 11, he started speaking to tree. There's a problem. The Bible says his disciples had him. But the following day when they were coming, what happened? They saw that the fig tree has dried up. The Bible says from the root. And you know Jesus was just going. That's a man of faith. He just went. He went. He moved past the fig tree. He did as if he didn't see. It's the same for you to know that they carry rumor behind them. They are the ones that are called, Master, the fig tree you spoke to yesterday has died. And so, hallelujah. And look at what he told them in Mark chapter 11 verse 23. Mark 11 23. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, give it instruction, and not and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's faith. What are you saying? Many people have named their condition. They have called it all manner of names. I've met somebody before that said, this is sickness. That's the way he said it. He said, it's March. He said, it's normal. But you know, I couldn't just fathom it. It's okay, it's normal. He shall have whatsoever. He did what? He said. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. Beautiful scripture. I'm sure you know this scripture. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. It says, death and life are where? Are in your mouth. But you know the interesting thing? He placed death before life. He says death and life. Do you know the meaning? If something is dead, and because you have power in your mouth, you can change that death to life by what you say. And he proved it. John chapter 11 verse 43. John 11 43. It says, and when he has thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened in verse 44? And he that was dead came forth. Lazarus, how? Come forth. How did he say it? With a loud voice. You have been too quiet. That's why everything around you is stagnant. There is something you can't talk to. You can talk to your car. You can talk to anything. There is something you cannot talk to. You can talk to your body. You can talk to your equipment. You can talk to anything. And they must bow. That is the power in the tongue and the mouth of a man. It is a demonstration of faith. Until you begin to speak and say what you believe, you can't see it. You can't. Many people pray. Many people fasted. But when they get to number 3, they truncate the faith process. They keep quiet. They come and accept the norm. At that place, they paralyze the process of faith. And God stopped there for them. Even God didn't keep quiet. In the beginning, God made the heaven and the heart, and the heart was null and void, remember? And the earth became null and void. But the Bible says in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. God didn't keep quiet. And God said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. If you read it in the original Hebrew, it says, and God said, light be. Light be. And there was light. Light be. And there was light. You have kept quiet too long about your situation. And I said something earlier. I said faith said it is not impossible. For faith, but faith didn't say it will be easy. It's a battle. Don't let the devil padlock your mouth in the place of faith. Once you have believed it, once you have prayed, Jesus has believed it. He knew Lazarus was coming out, but he didn't keep quiet. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he shouted. He didn't talk. He shouted, Lazarus, come forth. You know, when you read that scripture, you know, I said, just like Mega was saying, read your Bible with imagination. If it is you, praise God. You know, I was reading the story of a man of God. He said he went somewhere to minister. So after ministration, as he was going out of the church, you know, just like the beautiful gate, he saw a cripple by the gate of the church, a cripple. And he said, he had just finished speaking about faith. And he said, and the Holy Spirit told him, shout with a loud voice that, you lame man, rise in the name of Jesus. He said, so he came out of that church and he saw the lame man. He looked around. All the escorts, all the protocol, they were all there. People from the church, you know, they were escorting him to his car and everything like that. The Holy Spirit said, shout with a loud voice, that rise up and walk in the mighty name of Jesus. He looked around. What if this man didn't stand up? So he said, as they got close to the man, he whispered in his ear, say, young man, rise up and walk. Peradventure, if he didn't walk, young man, rise up and walk. And he began to go. And he just had people shouting. The guy stood up and walked. He said, yeah, why didn't I shout it? He said, why didn't I shout it? Hallelujah. So they didn't know what happened. Hallelujah. They didn't know. And they couldn't glorify God properly. So I asked myself, I said, what of if Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. My event is grace already. Is that not the way you used to think? Isn't it? Jesus Christ just kneel down there. They didn't know what he's doing. Lazarus, come out. Okay. He has gotten to heaven. Shut the tomb. Isn't it? Just because this one has gone beyond. God has taken him. The Lord give it. The Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I would say, okay, hallelujah. So, go and bury him. But Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. They all had him. The same way they had him when he said, fig tree, die. When you truly believe, you will shout and speak with authority. It's because you don't believe. Hallelujah. I've come to that place of conviction. You know, many a times, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just tell me certain things. I just tell my wife, do you understand? And this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me. You know, because I'm a, what else if it didn't happen like that? Hallelujah. How will it not happen? He shouted the more. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. If you have New King James, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. What? We use what? Great boldness of speech. We use great boldness of speech. That is the law of faith. You speak with boldness. You speak with authority. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Listen carefully to this scripture, very beautiful scripture. Listen carefully. The Bible says, then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, you remember? He was a very humble man now at this point. That was who? Pharaoh. You remember? The story of Pharaoh. Bible says, he said, rise and go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Now listen carefully to an unbeliever. Look at what he said to Moses. He says, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. What are you saying? Why has it not come to pass? You have been saying the wrong thing. Pharaoh said, go as you have said. Go as you have said. Any pastor that doesn't understand this principle, we have problems. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because you know, I've come to understand, like I said, that faith is not a feeling. So it's not because I feel the anointing. There are things a man of God does under the influence of the anointing. Hallelujah. You know, everybody likes that because it's a comfortable zone for a man of God. If I'm praying about a particular situation and I know that there is the anointing of God upon me, is flowing in that direction, I'm excited. You know, there are sometimes I'm ministering here, I look up, I'm just wondering because I can feel the oil dropping on me. Physically, practically. So I know at that juncture, there is nothing I pray for. There is no move of God at that moment that I will not see results. I know it. But you know, it's a gift. And it doesn't happen every time. And that's the challenge. So there are times when the man of God now needs to walk by faith. Most of the time, we don't like that. It's very easy to walk under the anointing now. Anointing, you speak with anointing, you speak with authority. But when you need to speak by faith, you don't feel it all. So at that time, it looks as if everything is dry. But that is the time God also moves. Because the just shall live by his faith. He said, go as you have said. You have kept yourself in captivity. You have kept yourself in that situation. Because you have not said you want to live. The day you made up your mind to go, the Bible says, he told them, go as you have said. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Do you not understand the scripture? Every blessing that you are looking for is in heavenly places. Everything is available. Now the question you now ask yourself, how do I bring it to the realm of the physical? Because you don't need it in the heavenly places, you need it on earth. The only way you bring it from the heavenly places to have is by your words. How do I know? John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, and the word became flesh. Even Jesus Christ couldn't come until they spoke. And the word became flesh and dwelleth among us. He became flesh inside Mary. And he began to grow as a child. Every hey, hallelujah. It's not sperm that become baby. You don't understand. It is the word that became flesh. It's a process. It is the word that became flesh. It is the word that became flesh. How does word become flesh? By taking the word and releasing it into the atmosphere. You release it. It becomes flesh. And the Bible says, and dwelleth among us. What you have not seen is what you have not said. Number four. begin to act in accordance with the promise and your confession. Align your actions with the promise and your confession. James chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, but do you want to know? Is this? No, give it to me, King James. King James, please. He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Don't you know that faith without works is dead? What does that mean? And not looking at works. What is works? Action that you release to back up your faith. Hallelujah. You cannot be saying, I want to go to Abuja, and you are trekking towards Kano. You will never arrive in Abuja. That's the way many people behave in the place of prayer. You are past the three stages. You are past, you are confessing. But everything you are doing is contrary to what you are saying. That's the problem. Jesus Christ told them. What was the action? Open the grave. They opened the grave. And he spoke with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. You know, sometimes Bible spare us on details. Hallelujah. We didn't know for how long he waited before Lazarus came out. Praise God. You know, that's why I said, read your Bible with imagination. Maybe it took another 5 minutes. Maybe it took another 1 hour. But Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus waited by the mouth of the gate. And he was waiting. What are you still doing? He's coming out. He didn't shift. He didn't move. Hallelujah. And the grave could not hold Lazarus. The grave could not hold him. Lazarus came out. It might not be immediate, but he came out. You speak and you act in accordance to your faith. It's a law of faith. Many people violate it. They violate it. You are praying something else. You are doing something else. You are praying something else. You are doing something completely opposite to what you are praying about. Now let me show you what happens every time you are acting in faith. 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 5. We read this scripture. We are dealing with it every Wednesday now. But look at what happened here in Samaria. The Bible says, and they arose. Those are the lepers. If you don't know that story, go and read it where you get to. The whole of 2 Kings chapter 7. It says, and they arose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the Syria, of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now pause. You remember? The four lepers, they were leprous. They don't know what to do. And they began. They said, if we stay in the same space, or the same spot, we will die. He said, if we go to Samaria, there is famine there. We will likely die. He said, but let's go into the camp of the enemy. And the Bible says, they rose up. They were lepers. They were leprous. And they began to move into the camp of the enemy. Are you following that story now? The Bible says, when they entered into the camp of the enemy, there was no one there. Now listen carefully to what has happened. Next. The Bible says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled. They ran in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now, when we were reading verse 5, you saw the word twilight, right? When is twilight? When is twilight? When? Shortly after darkness. You understand? Or shortly before dawn in the morning. That's twilight. But this one was the twilight of the morning. Hallelujah. You remember? Verse 5. When did they start moving? And they arose in the twilight. Are you following me now? Then look at what happened. Go to verse 7. Verse 7. The Bible says, wherefore they arose and fled. When did they fly? Or fled? At twilight. Does it make sense now? Now hear me carefully. When you began to take steps of faith in the physical, God began to move in the spirit. Where you stop is where God stops. Where you stop is where he stops. When you move in the physical, he moves in the spirit. When you move in the physical, he moves in the spirit. When you move, when you take steps in the physical, God takes steps in the realm of the spirit. But now hear me carefully. This is where many people miss it, and it's very critical you understand it. The Bible says, a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years on earth. A day before the Lord is like 1,000 years on earth. Are you seeing that ratio? So that means when you take a step in a day, it might be equivalent to maybe 100 days or 300 days in the realm of the spirit. And that's why many people stop. That's why many people fail. Hallelujah. Daniel was praying in the realm of the physical. The angel said to Daniel, when Gabriel came, what did Gabriel tell Daniel? He said, from the moment you prayed, your prayers were answered, and words were given to me to bring to you. He said, but as I was coming, the king, the prince of Persia, hijacked me. You remember? And he said, for 21 days, he locked me up. You remember? He said, but Michael came to free me. 21 days. But the Bible says, Daniel did not stop until his answer came on the 21st day. So when there is a movement in the realm of the physical, there is a corresponding movement in the realm of where? Of the spirit. But it might not be immediate. That's why many people stop. And that's why many people fail. As you are moving at your twilight, things are happening in the twilight of the spirit. Hallelujah. You are believing God for a job in America. God knows that by the time you get to America without visa, there will be trouble. One day they will hijack you and they will deport you. So God doesn't want you embarrassment. God knows that now you need to go to embassy. You need to process your visa. You need to pay for all those things. Isn't it? God knows. So you can't be believing God. Now, Lord, I'm believing God that I'm going to America. Hallelujah. And you are believing God. And he didn't show up tomorrow. You didn't see visa tomorrow. Now you don't even have a passport. If you want to collect a fresh passport now, it takes 6 weeks. If you want to renew your passport, it takes 3 weeks. I'm telling somebody, borrowing somebody wisdom. So quickly do it. Because you don't know what will happen after 6 weeks. They can come up with another policy and say it will take 6 months. Praise the Lord. So you are believing God. You don't even have a visa. And you are believing God, you want to travel. God is saying, go and process. You have to process this thing. There are certain things in the realm of the physical that must correspond, that must be in place before that materializes. So as you are taking that step, they are moving in the spirit and they are waiting for you to take corresponding steps. You are believing God. Okay, so therefore, let me go and process my visa. Let me go and process my passport. Let me start from there. I can do that one in Mina. You didn't do that. And you are expecting heaven to move. Heaven has moved. You have not moved. So heaven stopped where you stopped. So every action on earth, there is a corresponding reaction and action in the realm of the physical, in the realm of the spirit. Probably what you are believing God for is in the hand of one stupid man in Australia. Australia is the end of the world. If you are traveling there, you might spend up to 48 hours or more. Hallelujah. One of my friends invited me to Australia. I said, guy, that's the end of the world. If I don't have anything special to come and do, I'm not coming. But where would I want to travel almost a week to get to where? How long do you want to go and spend there? You should know that way. So the day I tell you I'm going to Australia, I know that I'm going to go and set up another branch. Don't expect me in the next 6 months. Hallelujah. Now, what you are believing God for is in Australia. And so God had to move. And it's going to take our 5 days to get to you. But here you are, you have given up in faith. You have given up on God. You have stopped confessing. You have stopped acting in faith. The Bible says they began to take steps. These lepers, they began to take steps. And as they were taking steps, for every step they took, what happened? In the camp of the enemy, there was a loud noise. As they move, their small steps look keen. But in the realm of the spirit, it's looking boom. And the enemy began to run. So the more they move, the faster the enemy ran. The more they move, the faster the enemy run. From today, when you are walking in faith, know that things are happening. Don't stop. The devil will negotiate. The devil will tell God that he has stopped, though, so you can't continue moving. Me, I'm not moving. And that's why you lose battles. And finally, The fifth step. Praise Jesus. Okay, before I go there, let's look at this woman. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. You remember? The Bible says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Read your Bible with imagination. This woman has been losing blood every day for 12 years. At that moment, anybody that is losing blood looks white and very, very pale. And that's why when you get to hospital and the person is looking a little bit pale, the first thing the doctors will do is to do this. Have you witnessed that before? They want to check, especially for young children. They want to check whether once that place is white, they know this person is losing blood without testing. That woman was weak, very frail. And the capacity of the crowd that was around Jesus was intimidating. At every time that Jesus moved, at least we are sure that between 10,000 and 20,000 people were around him at every given point in time. How do we know? From when he fed the 5,000. But let's even say 5,000 people are around him. Hallelujah. Have you seen a crowd of 5,000 before? Do you know what it looks like? Have you even seen a crowd of 500 before? You know what it looks like? Have you been in a crowd of 200 before? And see what it looks like. Huh? And you are targeted to go to a particular place. Everywhere looks rowdy, mad, crowded. The Bible says she came in the press. She pressed through the crowd. That's action. So that she can get to Jesus. While she was going, you can imagine that frail woman in the crowd. Nobody to help. Nobody could bribe Peter for him. You know, there was protocol in the line of Jesus. You know, you have to talk to John, talk to Peter before you get to Jesus. Nobody could talk to those protocols to get to Jesus. But the Bible says she came in the press. Faith makes all things possible, but not necessarily easy. She came in the press. She pressed through the crowd and she grabbed the hem of the garment. And immediately, she got her healing. How long have you pressed? What action have you put in? Nothing. Are you complaining your prayers are not answered? No. No. You know, usually when people say, I've prayed on this and don't do, I try to investigate. What have you done? Have you prayed? He said, pray. Yeah. Okay, did you fast? No. But I said, sometimes the Bible says this kind does not go out by prayer except by prayer and fasting. Now, he said, no. We didn't fast though, but we pray. Okay, how did you pray? How? Oh. We have prayed. She came in the press. If you are really passionate about answers, you press. And finally, number 5. It's critical and you have to know it. Romans chapter 4. Verse 20. Romans chapter 4. Verse 20. I love it in the Amplified. Talking about Abraham. Hey. Give me an Amplified. The Bible says, no unbelief or distraught made Abraham waver. Doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. Give it to me in King James. We'll come back. I love the English in King James for that part. The Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God. Have you seen a drunk cat before? That is very, very heavily drunk. How did they do? They stagger. They stagger. Hallelujah. They stagger. Praise God. Somebody was telling us about a professor in FUT that went to drink. Praise God. So he went home. So the following day when he woke up, he started asking for his car. So he looked outside and said, they have stolen his car. So they reported the police station. They began looking for his car. They bet his car parked comfortably where he went to drink. He staggered home. That's how many people stagger at the promise of God. Today, will it happen? Well, Today, we are in faith. Pastor said, if you believe, you confess. Yes. Immediately they get out. They look, the situation is still there. Hey. Those men, they will just be exciting you. Then he comes again on Sunday. Say, anoint yourself. Confess the word. Do you know why we tell you to confess? Because all of many people. Somebody said almost 85% of church members don't have any confession throughout the week. They don't say anything. You know, confession is part of action that backs up faith. But it didn't stagger. Hallelujah. It didn't stagger. The same way he felt in church, he held onto the word and it didn't shake. It didn't stagger. Hallelujah. So what's number five? Now is the last part. Go to Amplify. Thank you. Bible says, concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith. How? As he gave praise and glory to God. That's number five. Begin to thank God for the answers. Begin to thank God for the answers. You have done step one perfectly, step two perfectly, step three perfectly. You know, sometimes if you are not very sensitive in the spirit, you can be repeating a particular step. You can keep repeating step three, step three, step three, or step four, step four, step four, step five, step four, and then you don't know you are supposed to still go to step five. The Bible says, he staggered not. But as he began to give thanks and praise, he said, became empowered by thanksgiving. If you truly believe, one of my mentors in ministry said something. He said, every time he sees a miracle happen, he doesn't thank God. You just tell the people, why not go ahead and give thanks to God? But he continues as if everything is normal. I said, why? He said, because at the point of prayer, he has thanked God already. When miracles happen sometimes, it could excite you. Hallelujah. It could excite you. You could shout, you could run. But you know what? Many a times, if you have actually done it clearly in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't look too much as a surprise. Why? You are expecting it. Praise the Lord. You are what? You have received it in the spirit. You could shout. But really, if you have thanked God for it, when it comes, you understand, it's no more so big a deal. It still excites you. You are still excited. You are still happy about it. But the truth of the matter is that, are you truly expecting it? If you are truly expecting it, praise the Lord, you will thank God for it in advance. So those are steps of faith. And many people violate it. Hallelujah. If I promise you, if I say, Abraham, I'll give you 1,000 naira after service, what will you do immediately? Thank you. Why? Because you believe I will give you. And I will give him. Hallelujah. If you truly believe that you will give, what do you do? Thank you. So most of the time, it's because we don't believe. That's why we don't thank God. So we always eliminate that part, and the devil knows. So the devil is waiting for you. Step one, perfect. Step two, perfect. Step three, perfect. Then you go back to step one. Before you go back to step one, make sure step five is in place. The devil will make sure he fights. How do you thank somebody for something you have not seen? That's the problem. How? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. See, I wonder, when will it happen? How will it happen? Let's go and pray some more. No. Pray some more. Bishop Oyedepo said, people can pray amiss, but you can never praise amiss. You can't go wrong praising God. It's not possible. That's the completion of the process of faith. So what is step one? What is step one? Huh? Number two. Number three. Put the promise where? Number four. Huh?
Hallelujah.
And number 5.
Do you believe you have answers now? Jump on your feet. Probably that's the part that has been missing. He makes impossibilities possible. 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 He makes impossibilities possible.
Shake your body now.
He makes impossibilities possible. He makes impossibilities.
So if you truly believe, what do?
You dance, you rejoice, as if you already have it. That is the completion of the circle. The Lord bless you.